Just a little setup here. At one point in Matthew's gospel, and Luke has a similar story, Jesus sends out the 12 on a mission, and so they're gone for a few months, and then they get back together again. And so for the next 3 Sundays, we're going to be reading from that mission discourse where Jesus instructs his disciples on how to manage their missionary journey. And so today we have the first section of that. One of the reasons the lectionary gives us this is, and really that whole discourse between the next 3 Sundays, it's all going to be there, because we're all on a missionary journey too. What Jesus tells to his disciples as they go out to proclaim the good news, the gospel, the presence of the kingdom now, we're doing the same thing. Every Mass, we get sent out to proclaim the gospel with our lives. And so this missionary discourse is applicable to us as well. So the theme of the section we have today is don't be afraid. Don't be afraid if they're going to revile you or make fun of you or hate you because of the message you're giving. Because just like Jeremiah in that first reading, they're surrounding me with their nasty thoughts and their words, and they're plotting my death and all this kind of stuff, and I'm there's terror on every side. I mean, I'm petrified by this, and yet deep down I know that God is on my side. And so what can they do against me? They are going to lose in the end, because God is on the side of the poor. And Jeremiah feels poor because he's out there by himself. And at times we're going to feel that same emotion. We're going to feel alone. We're the only person or the only family in the world that kind of cares about God and cares about the church and those kinds of things. And yet we have to remember that God is always on our side. So don't be afraid. It's interesting. The word intimacy comes from 2 Latin words, intimere, which means in or through fear. Isn't that strange? Intimacy, which is closeness and love, comes from fear. Because when you first realize that you love someone, you are afraid to tell them so. You're afraid to say, I love you, for fear that they're not going to love you back. It's a fearful thing to fall in love. And when we fall in love with God, there's a fear that comes with that. I wonder if God loves me. I wonder if God is really going to take care of me. I wonder if I can really trust the gospel message that God is on my side. Because there's fear all around us, as Jeremiah says. There's terror on every side. The world, the secular culture, is always telling me with various messages, you can't count on that. You don't know if there's a life after death. There's no evidence that any of this is true. You Christians, you know, you're just in this dream world, and you're believing what you want to believe, but there's no evidence that God is really there. That's the fear we face almost on a daily basis. Somebody's always questioning why we're trusting in God. So we face into that fear. This is kind of countercultural in itself, because humans have a tendency to run around fear, or to run away from fear, or to put up blockages and deny fear. But you know, when you deny things, that doesn't make them go away. The only way to make them go away is to face into them, to dive right into the middle of it. And so rather than run away from God, for whom we have plenty of reason to fear, he's the one who can destroy both soul and body in Gehenna, don't fear all the people, don't fear all these other things. The only one deserving of fear is God, because God is ultimately in control of our eternal destiny. So we face into that fear, and we find when we get inside of it that there was nothing to fear at all. God is there, and God is love. one of the best ways of developing that intimacy and deepening that intimacy is through prayer. One of the ways you trust that God is there and God is on your side is because you're talking to God on a daily basis. You're in conversation through prayer. And so you hear God in the depths of your being over and over again telling you that you are loved and that you are safe, that there's nothing to fear. And so I always encourage here, keep up the daily prayer. Don't let a day go by without at least a short conversation with God. And over time, you can develop longer conversations with God. You start out short, but you can develop into longer periods. One of the great benefits we have here in Manhattan is we have an adoration chapel down at Seven Dollars inside the parish offices there. It's the old convent chapel. From that building used to be a convent. And there's an opportunity there to stop in and kind of be in the presence of God. You know, the exposed Blessed Sacrament in the monstrance is just kind of a visual reminder of God's presence. Now, God is present in your room, in your home. God's present in the mall, at the university, at the fort. God is everywhere. We all know that. But there's something about that visual reminder of the consecrated host that tells us with a certainty that we sometimes need that God is present. And there's the quietness of that chapel. And, you know, there's something good for us modern-day Western people who are always filled with noise. There's always a radio blaring, a TV. There's something on the computer. We're on the internet. We're just constantly active. Our mind is active and distracted by various things. One of the healthiest spiritual and psychological things we can do for ourselves is to spend silent time in the presence of God. How are you ever going to hear God telling you that he loves you if you never shut up? You know, it takes silence so that you can hear. And so it's difficult at first. I remember the first time I committed myself to an hour in the Adoration Chapel over in Salina. I thought to myself, how am I going to fill an hour? What am I going to do for that hour? You know, and there are, you know, take a book with you on the lives of the saints, or take a devotional book of some kind. There's usually reading materials in the chapel there that you can pick up. You can pray the rosary. I mean, you can fill an hour pretty quickly. And it won't be perfect. It won't be absolute rapture of prayer the whole hour. You're going to be distracted from time to time and think about other things. But just to commit yourself to being in there in silence in that hour, and then it gradually grows. And people get transformed that way. From being something that you are afraid of, how will I fill that hour, to something that you look forward to every week. And it absolutely transforms people's lives. Now, if you can't at this time in your life commit yourself to an hour, you have to know that that chapel is always open 24/7, and you don't have to be signed up for any particular time. You can go in there anytime, day or night, whenever you feel the need to be in that special presence of God. And you can spend 5 minutes, 10 minutes, a half hour, whatever works for you. But whether you're doing that or not, intimacy with God, facing into the fear, and then therefore discovering the love, is so essential to our Christian lives. And so whenever you get a few minutes extra, wherever you are, lift your mind and your heart up to God and be in God's presence.